Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Appearance Radio with Augusto Perez. On today's mailbag show, we'll be discussing prophetic current events, answering your questions, sharing praise reports, and praying over your prayer requests. We'll also be taking communion after the music break. Now, here is Augusto.
Welcome to the Appearance Radio Mailbag Show. I am Augusto Perez, and shalom. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024, the year of our Lord. We're going to bring you the latest in headline news, commentaries, analysis, as we see it through the eyes of Bible prophecy and the Word of God. Well, it's been kind of a very hectic season that I have been in this last several weeks. Especially this last several weeks, it's been one thing after another. Maybe one day I'll share the story, which are several kind of connected. But the good thing about all of this is that Jesus Christ is on the throne, and prayer changes things. And the Lord always comes through, and what the devil meant for evil, God turns it around for good. This is a word for some of you out there that are struggling, are going through the ring. I mean, you're really going through it. And trust me, I sympathize with you. And this is a word for you, okay? This is a word for you. What the devil meant for evil, God is turning it around for good. So hold on to that. Don't let it go. No matter what you go through, remember those words. That's the scripture. That's in the Bible. It's not mine. It's in the Bible. So I just wanted to share that there are a lot of things happening. It seems like the very the hell itself has opened up, and I have talked about that possibility, and it may be happening with CERN and starting and all that. It seems like hell is opening up, and it's just spewing its fury against all of the lambs and the children of the Most High, especially those in the front lines. They're taking the heat, and but like I told somebody, you know, when you're in the kitchen, you got to expect the heat. You know, you got to take the heat if you're in the kitchen. You know, so you know it's the way it is. It's the way it is. That's just the way it is. So anyway, I have been seeing that. I have been noticing that, and I may do a little mini series or maybe even one lesson on spiritual warfare again to refresh a refresher course, because the people need it. People need this. We are battling against forces of darkness, like the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6, that we have never met and we have never met before. These are big, big, ugly, you know, boogers, and they have been released with a fierceness. I have been seeing this. I have been shown this years back, and back then when I was shown this, I wondered, how are we going to make it through that? And it seems like we are here, folks. So I'm just sharing that not to make you afraid, because we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who died for us. And there's nothing that we cannot do. We can do all things through He that dwelleth within us. I'm just sharing that so that you kind of up the ante and you prepare yourself accordingly, because we are now in the big leagues, folks. No more little league. We are in the big leagues now. Now, I wanted to share a couple of articles here, and then I'll turn it over to you guys, Larry and Chuck. And this is, Ron Paul wrote something, said something. I was reading in InfoWars, something, and he kind of grabbed me. When something grabs my spirit, I read it. And this is from Ron Paul. Ron Paul is a very, very well-known conservative politician, let's just say that. I don't even know what position he has now, But he has been in Congress. He has been all over the place. And he said something that really is very telling. And he says, the final nail in America's coffin, with a question mark. And he says that the day that Congress funded multiple wars, eroded the privacy further, and granted the presidential power to selectively shut down the internet, that was the final nail in America's coffin. Now, is Ron Paul right about this? And from all appearances, it seems like he is. We don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see if this thing, if they're able to finish the work on America. They got their talons dug real deep inside the ribs of America. We're just going to have to see if America can rid itself of this predator that is trying to snuff the life out of this nation. And it's going to be up to the states. The Washington, D.C. is cooked. It's okay. It's cooked. Everybody there seems to be bought. Not everybody, but I would say 80% seem to be bought. Either that or have no spine. Either that or they don't care. Or they're evil themselves. All of the above. It doesn't matter, no matter how you look at it. The bottom line is, it seems like there is no real patriots in America left, in the government, that is, in the government, and in the military either. The military is silent as it can be, silent as it can be. If it would have been the other way around, if it would have been the conservatives, you know, doing things that the liberals and the Democrats and the communists didn't like, I guarantee you there would have been already at least a dozen ex-military, ex-generals, or maybe generals already, that would have spoken up. There would have been whistleblowers and all kinds of things. And although some of that is happening, some of it is happening, it's not enough. It's too little, too late. And I am kind of in agreement with Ron Paul. I still have faith that America can stop this. God can stop this. And with the prayers of the people, if America repents, I'm not talking about these dirty politicians. I'm talking about God's people. If God's people will repent and turn away from evil, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says there in the Bible, it says there in the good book, that he will hear from heaven and he will heal the land. It's in the Bible. So I'm gonna grab a hold of that promise, and I'm not gonna let it go. And I'm gonna lay hold of the promise and the fact that George Washington made a covenant with the Most High that this would be his country, his nation, and that place, that the cathedral there, St. Paul Cathedral, when the 9/11 attack happened. That place where that was signed, that declaration was signed, was standing. It was not destroyed. So that was kind of a glimmer of hope for America. Maybe the Lord saying, I have not forgotten about this.
Well, it has been a pretty crazy week, and especially watching the, excerpts from the show trial where they're working to send Trump to prison, actually, or worse. And we're watching all of this play out. Nothing in the history of this nation has ever been to this degree. But this is where we find ourselves. And it's interesting. And I agree with you. Washington, D.C. is gone forever as far as any leadership for this nation. You know, how this will work out, how much of the nation will stand, or how the nation divides, I guess we're going to witness that ourselves. It's very, very interesting that people should finally have woke up by now. Of course, they don't want to wake up. I don't even consider the fact that they can't wake up. My opinion now is that if you're not awake now, you don't want to wake up, and you don't plan on waking up. So all I can say is go with it. But ironically, we find ourselves, I know when all this began, we had Trump in 2016 and then we had the 2020 and then 2022 and on and on it goes. But we're finding now that there's simply no way to turn this around in Washington. I think that the very few, and you mentioned that, Augusto, there is a few that are trying to do the right things. They don't have a stand a chance. They literally don't stand a chance. The deck is so stacked against them, they are non-functional. And I really would not be surprised if some of those begin to just go back to their states and, fight the battle from home. You know, you mentioned all the generals. Well, the ones running the country are woke. And the military is woke. We really don't have, any help coming from that area. And the generals that I'm aware of, most of them have stayed pretty quiet except for two or three. And they're basically dug in at home in their home states. And it does appear that if Anton Johansson's writings were right, that the battles will basically be in those home states. Ron Paul may be exactly right. It's very possible this nation has took one step too far, and it is incapable of turning the other way around. And the only thing, and I'll end it with this, the only thing that, and I know you know this better than I do, Augusto, that when evil and the communists dig in this deep into a nation, that nation will never be the same ever, 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 ever again if it's able to even survive.
Yeah, Washington is gone, and I can't imagine any politician trying to go to Washington and turn things around. It is absolutely impossible. So what these politicians need to do is work from their own states, from their own districts, and work locally to try to get things cleaned up, because it's not possible to do it in Washington whatsoever. There's a lot of evil in Washington. Politicians bought off, threatened. You just can't imagine what the allure is to a lot of these people going to Washington, because they know they can make a lot of money with bribes or so forth, and they don't care about the people that who they are representing. They're not representing them whatsoever. They're representing themselves and what they can get out of it, and then get out. Although some of them they're going to be in politics for years and years and years, like some of them, and become millionaires. How do you do that on the salary that these people are paid? Well, bribes, payoffs, inside information on the stock market, that goes on as well. So, yeah, it is ridiculous what is happening, but it is happening. And this is very serious and in great need of prayer at this time, believe me.
Yep. Yeah, it is. It is. And we are praying. We are praying a lot about all of these things and other things that I haven't even mentioned. But some of the things that, and again, I have been so busy that I have not had time to go through the details of what that bill that Congress passed. But I was reading some of these in the Ron Paul, that Ron Paul was talking about. And that article there in InfoWars, it says, after the House voted to send another $60 billion to notoriously corrupt Ukraine, members waved the Ukrainian flags on the House floor and chanted, "Ukraine, Ukraine." I mean, can you believe this? This is happening in America. And and then they sent another $100 billion, along with sending $100 billion that we don't have to fund more wars overseas. And then Speaker Johnson threw in another version of the TikTok ban, which gave Biden and future presidents the power to shut down websites at will by simply declaring them to be foreign adversary controlled. And then the U.S. Senate, on the same day, passed the extension of Section 702 of the FISA Act, which not only allowed the government to continue spying on us without a warrant, which they have been doing. But now under this new bill, it has new language that expands how they can spy on us. it was all bad. Everything they passed, there was nothing good in it. So I wonder where is the conservatism or the conservatists in Congress? Well, I'll show you where they are. The majority of them voted with the Democrats, like I said at the beginning of the program. They are either bought, they are either compromised, they are either in bed with them, you know, as evil and corrupt as them, or they just don't care. And all of the above is probably the right answer. And this article goes on to say that Senate Majority Schumer even reported to have bragged to his colleagues about how easily Speaker Johnson gave Democrats everything they wanted and asked for nothing in return. Well, the only good thing that happened here, according to the article and Ron Paul, is that most Republicans in the House voted against continuing the Ukraine war. So there you go. They threw them a bone there. All right. So anyways, this does not look good, folks. This does not look good. I'll tell you one thing that does look good. I'm going to throw in some good news here because it's all so bad. I was looking at this last weekend, and again, this just grabbed me. And I have been hearing of revivals hidden here and there, you know, and I praise God. I thank God for every soul that comes into the kingdom. I thank God for every laborer that is out there working, reaching out to the lost. I thank God for all of these precious people that are doing this, okay? But this one, but I never talk much about it. But this one grabbed my spirit. Again, I want to follow through whenever something like that happens. Listen to this, folks. This is going to make your day if you haven't seen this already. Revival hits. Guess where? Guess where? The U.S. border. That's right. Revival is hitting the U.S. border. You know where the invasion is taking place? Mm-hmm. That place. With 9,000 having an experience with the Lord. So now it seems like somebody got an email from heaven and obeyed and say, yes, sir. God bless these people that did this. And they followed through and obeyed the Lord. And they went there to the border and started preaching the gospel there and started during prayer and tent meetings in late March. And then Pastor Tony Suarez, he is the creator of Revival on the Border. And he told CBN News his initial goal was for 5,000 people to encounter God through nightly revival meetings held from March 21 through 29 in El Paso and McAllen, Texas, the very areas where this invasion is the worst. I mean, God bless these precious people. That's where they went. And you know what? God is honoring their work. It says they had nearly 70 water baptisms on the books. And if I were younger, that's definitely something I would definitely consider and pray about. So there you go, guys. This is where the action is. There at the border. That's where the action is. I guarantee you, if this continues, and salvations continue to increase and water baptisms continue to increase, I guarantee you the people that open the borders, they're going to be the very ones that are going to shut it down. There were 700 people in attendance each night at McAllen. So God is moving at the border. So intercessors, keep the border in prayer that these revivals will extend throughout all the border, Texas, the Texas border, and all the way into the California border, all the way Arizona and Texas, and that this thing will get to the point where the very people that open up the border and meant it for evil, God's going to turn it around for good.
Well, that's going to be something to watch, and kudos for a move of the Lord. One of the interesting things, you mentioned Mike Johnson earlier, and of course, pretty much it's been very openly viewed that he's nothing basically in the country but a traitor. You know, and I know this stuff. You know, he says, I'm a Christian, I pray. And I think Chuck remembers a guy that was with the David Wilkerson Ministries by the name of Keith Green. And matter of fact, one of the best songs I ever heard, I guess, in my entire life that Keith Green wrote and sang was So You Want to Go Back to Egypt. And boy, I've never been able to get that out of my spirit. But one of the things that Keith Green said, and then I believe this ties in with the guy with no sand, or, you know, any other way you want to put it, Mike Johnson. Keith Green had another saying that I really enjoyed. I laughed. He and Keith Green and Leonard Ravenhill, who was a mighty man of God, you know, one of the things that they talked about back and forth was the fact, and this is actually Keith Green's words, he says, you know, going to church don't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. And throughout life, I've seen that fact. I absolutely have seen that is very, very true. There's a lot of people out there claiming trying to put a Christian mask on to walk around, and I don't know what they're walking around for, really, but most of them betray everyone. They betray their friends. They betray their family. They betray the move of the Lord. They betray everything. And, well, this is the place we find ourselves in.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people that actually believe that they're good Christians. And when I go out and witnessing, sometimes I get some very interesting answers when I talk to people. And I'll generally ask them, are you saved? If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? And one lady just shot back to me. She says, I'm good, and just kept on walking. And that's the way a lot of people feel. They're what you call minimal Christians, and they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And unfortunately, with these people, when Judgment Day rolls around, it's going to be a shock for them. But I'm glad to hear what's going on the border with this revival. This is amazing. I think a lot of people, including one well-known person on the Internet, I won't say who they are, believes that there are going to be revivals in stadiums. That may be so, but I think most of the revival is going to be taking place like what is going on at the border and on the streets of American cities when Christians go out and start witnessing. There was a man years ago, I'm sure a lot of people have heard the story about this man. His name was Mr. Gaynor. He would go out witnessing on George Street in Sydney, Australia. And he did this for years. And he would go out and witness, and if he was sick and couldn't go out, he would double up the next day. And he got a lot of rejections, but a lot of people were very much affected by what he said to them. And later on, there was a preacher in Australia who started traveling around to talk to local Christians and ministers and so forth in the different cities just to get them revved up and, you know, excited about sharing the gospel. And he would ask people, how did you come to know Christ? And in every one of those meetings, there were numerous hands raised of people who were brought to Christ by this man, Mr. Gaynor, who was witnessing in Sydney, Australia. And just before he died, a couple of Christians had heard about him and found out where he lived, and they went and paid him a visit. He had no idea of the effects that he had on people with his witnessing until these two men told them what they were seeing happen. And he was just overcome with emotion. Because that one simple thing of going out and just witnessing every day, the fruit that he produced, because the people that were saved, of course, went out and they witnessed. And it just has a snowball effect. So even if you get one or two people saved, it's going to snowball because they're going to start witnessing to other people. And Believe me, you're not wasting your time when you do, because even if you plant a seed and the people just say, okay, fine, thank you. If you have good tracks, give them a track and then just ask the Lord to save them. And that's where prayer comes in.
Well, that's absolutely right. You know, you never know that seed that you planted in that person, in that young man, in that boy, whoever that person is, in that lady, in that young girl, in that woman, that young boy could turn out to be the next Billy Graham. And that young girl could turn out to be the next Catherine Kuhlman. You never know. You never know the seeds you plant, what effect it's going to have on that life, and the effect and the impact that life is going to have on the world. I was watching just a few days ago the story on Heaven is for Real. And that's the story of the Burpos. That's the story of Todd Burpo, who is the small town pastor in Nebraska, and his wife, and then his little boy, Colton, and he had a sister, you know, the four of them. And the crux of the movie is that his son Colton had was taken to the hospital in emergency, and he died, and he went to heaven, and he saw Jesus, and he saw a sister that he never had in real life. Because he had passed away in the womb of the mother. Nobody knew that except the mother and the father. Nobody knew that. And when that little boy, you know, and nobody wanted to believe that little boy. Nobody wanted to believe. The only one willing to believe him was the father, the dad. And the church didn't want to believe him. The people didn't want to believe him. And even the father was having doubts if his imaginations, or was it real? And of course, you know, it's a long movie. I recommend you watch it. It's very, very good. I really, really enjoyed it. It's excellent. It's called Heaven is for Real. And it's the story. It's a real life story on the Burpos. And, and the end of the movie ends. I mean, it has a lot of good things in it. The boy saw the little boy in heaven saw Jesus. Jesus showed him a lot of things, and he saw also the his grandfather, his dad's father, and then the father was trying to find out if this was true or not. So he showed him a picture of his granddad, right? His father, of the little boy's grandfather, and he asked him, "Is this who you saw?" And it was a picture of his dad, you know, in his later years. And he must have been in his 50s or 60s. And the little boy said, no, that's not him. That's not the man I saw. And then the man, it appears that a light bulb went inside of him, and he ran, and he got a picture in the drawers of his father when he was young, when he married his mother. And he brought he brought it to the kid, to his son, and said, is this the one you saw? Is this the man you saw? And the little boy looked at it and said, that's who I saw. And then the little boy said, in heaven, nobody grows old. Everybody is young. It was very powerful, very powerful movie, very touching. And in the end, the movie ends with the father sitting in the computer, and he saw the story of the little girl from across the sea, Akiana, who had also had an experience and went to heaven, and she was able to paint because she's a painter. She's an artist. And she was able to paint a picture of Jesus, the face of Jesus. And then the father again called his son, the Burpo, Todd Burpo called his son Colton and said, did Jesus, when you saw Jesus in heaven, did he look like this? And the boy, his eyes opened real big, and he said, that is him. That is Jesus. So that was a beautiful ending to a beautiful movie. I recommend you watch it. Heaven is for Real.
Well, that's a powerful movie. I've watched that two or three times. I really enjoy that movie. It's such a blessing. And I also get emails and posts from that Camerick girl, the one you're talking about in the movie. because her story is really unique. She didn't die. She literally was taken from her house. She vanished. She was in her house, you know, with a family, and she vanished. And they thought she had been kidnapped. They called in the police. They called in dogs. They called in responders, and they began to go through the neighborhoods, and she was gone for hours. Could not be found. Not a smidgen of any evidence of anything. She just literally vanished. And I think she was, if I remember right, I read that book real close. But they said that there was witnesses standing in her house when she reappeared right in front of them. And she had been with the Lord. And, you know, of course, she drew him. I've seen a lot of her art, and I can't even imagine drawing like that. I mean, it just, you know, I'm no artist. I could draw a stick man, but you don't get too far past that. But she just unbelievable ability to draw, and a lot of her art, spiritual art. It's incredible. It's just amazing. But, you know, you talked about the, you know, heaven is for real. That is a powerful, powerful witnessing tool and a powerful movie.
Yeah, I would certainly recommend it. While Augusta was talking, I went to YouTube, and it's on YouTube free. You can watch it on YouTube or download it and watch the full movie. And I plan on doing that. I love movies like this. They're great witnesses, and I hope a lot of people will watch it who aren't Christians, who just wonder about the title, Is Heaven for Real or Heaven is Real? Sounds like a great movie.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the thing that I really found about the movie, of course, is based on a true story. So, is that it is real life issues. It is about people that have real life issues. This is not a Hollywood type of Hollywood. No. This is a very down-to-earth, you know, movie about real people with real problems. People that have, you know, real issues in life with God, even with God. There was a lady there that, I mean, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but it talks about the struggles that people have in this life to believe that, you know, heaven is real or hell is real or that God even exists. And I think we're living in a time that... you know, we sometimes forget about these things, especially if you've been a preacher, you know, like me and many of you out there, and you know, that you forget that, you know, if you start preaching the gospel, if you start preaching the gospel to people that don't know anything, that maybe don't even believe in God, you know, if you start preaching a sermon to them, it's going to go way over their heads. And I'm sharing this to people out there right now that are getting their feet wet, because we have many that listen to our programs, that are learning, that are being trained. We have prophets that are being trained. We have evangelists that are being trained. We have pastors that are being trained. You know, all of these people, what you need to understand is, and teachers, what you need to understand is that life is real. Life is full of real problems and real issues. And a lot of these people have real issues. And so you've got to get down to where the rubber meets the road and minister to them there. Not talk about, you know, a pie in the sky, you know, and it, you know, yes, heaven is real, but you've got to minister to them about real issues. And, you know, some people are mad at God. There are people right now that are mad at God. And I have encountered many people like that, that were mad at God. We're mad. And it all boils down to something that happened to them. Something that happened to them, an experience that they had, and for some reason God never came through for them, and they get mad at God. And they have a resentment in their heart against God. I'm talking to some folks right now out there. I'm ministering to you right now. You know God is dealing with you. You know this is for you. Deep down inside, You may deny it, but deep down inside, you have this thing against God. You have this resentment. And movies like this will help to heal that. And when you encounter someone like that, you've got to minister to their pain. You've got to minister to their wound. You got to minister to that issues of the heart. And that is how salvation begins. That is how they're going to be converted. Because if you just try to preach a sermon and preach the Bible to them or throw the Bible at them, it's not going to work. You're not going to get anybody saved. Okay? So I'm just trying to share some things with you because watching this movie, I have known this. I have known this all of my life, but sometimes you go through so many things. Sometimes you go through so many tests and so many trials and so many tribulations that you forget. You begin to forget about these things. And sometimes the Lord has to send a little reminder, maybe in the form of a movie, yeah. Or maybe in the form of something that someone tells you, like I'm telling you here today. Or someone else out there will tell you something to shake you a little bit and bring you back to reality and for you to become aware that God loves you. But even though God loves you, this world is full of pain and is full of suffering and is full of heartache. And we're going to be here. We have to be here. We have to go through this. And then when we go through all this, then we'll get our rest. Like at one time, I'll close with this and turn it back over to you guys. I was going through a real difficult trial in Miami, Florida, a very, very difficult one. And it was one thing after another. And I was young. It's not like now. Now I've been through I have been around, you know, two or three times, you know. I've been a few times. So I know the ropes a little bit. But back then I was just, I was a greenhorn. I was young. I was a young pastor. And I was overwhelmed. And I may be talking to some young pastors out there. And I went to the Lord in prayer. I did a lot of fastings. I cannot even begin to tell you how much fasting I did. I did a lot of fasting. Not 3 days fast. No. I did 20 days, 30 days. I did 40-day fasts twice or three times. And I was not getting any answers. And I was not getting any breakthroughs. And I thought that those fasts were going to get me through it. And one night the Lord spoke to me and said, son, as long as you are there, you will have trials, tribulations, suffering, and pain. He says, when you come up here with me, all of that will be gone. And that just, it did something to me that to this day, I don't fear those things anymore. I don't like them, but I don't fear them.
Well, that's true. And in this world, we have what you call, whether it's tribulation or just tribulation, we have plenty of it. And as you said, a lot of people are hurting. And when you minister out there, you have to minister to those needs. And that's very true.
Yeah, well, you're going to face all kinds of trials and tribulations, as Augusto said. But when you come to the realization that that's a part of life, and that you can always rely on him to get you through them. I have written down on 3x5 cards some of my favorite scriptures, and some of them have to do with leaning on the Lord and that he will help us to endure these things. And it certainly helps because some of the things we have to face are really quite something, but the Lord is always there and will get us through it.
That's why we have to, we cannot quit. And that's the bottom line. Whatever it is you're going through, don't quit. Do not quit. Okay? Complain all you want. Complain is fine. You can even scream at God if you want to, if you get frustrated. That's fine. He can handle that. But just don't quit. Do not quit. Because the moment you quit, the moment you allow this things, these demons, these feelings of anxiety, stress, discouragement, even depression. When you allow those things to come over you and to overwhelm you, and then you get pulled into a cycle of depression, that is not something you want to happen to you. You do not want that happening to you. Because once you get sucked into that cycle of depression, it's just going to be one after another, and it seems like you're always going to be groping for air. And that's not how we should live as Christians. So do not allow the devil to slap you like that around. You got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And hey, things may not be as good as they were yesterday, or the year before, or maybe 5 years ago. Things may not be as good as when you were 10 years younger, but guess what? You're still here. We are still here. And God has still some work for us to do. And when he's done, and there's nothing else for us to do here, we'll go home. How's that? So anyways, this has been a very unusual and very interesting first half of the program. I don't think that this was planned. I certainly did not plan this. I just pray that a lot of people out there waking up spiritually first, that people wake up spiritually to the reality that there is a real God and that there is a real judgment day coming, folks. Make no mistake about it. There's a real judgment day coming where everything that you did, everything that you said in secret, even everything, every deed is going to be revealed, good or bad. And all of these evils that we see today happening, the Almighty is going to take care of them soon. All right? Make no mistake about it. The Bible is full of scriptures quoting just that evil will reap. Every seed that is planted will be reaped. If the seed is good, you will receive a good harvest. If the seed is evil, you will receive a bad harvest. But a harvest, many of these people will receive a harvest. So we don't need to grumble and we don't need to be downcast or discouraged. They're sowing. Some of these people are sowing a very bad seed and they're going to receive a very bad harvest. When will that happen, Augusto? Well, I don't know. But if you're a farmer, or if you know something about farming, you know that it doesn't happen overnight. You plant a seed, it takes a while. And sometimes you get discouraged. Sometimes that seed is nowhere to be found in the soil. And a week goes by, and 2 weeks go by, and nothing. 3 weeks go by, nothing. A month goes by, nothing. And you start to get worried. You start to get concerned if all that energy, all that work was for naught. And then maybe after a few short months, you begin to see a little sign of life coming out, bursting through the sod, and your heart leaps for joy. That is the joy of the harvest. And the same thing happens when you plant a seed in the heart of someone. Do not be discouraged. Do not be downcast. That seed will bring forth fruit. And you will begin to see the signs of it soon if you lose not faith. So anyway, final words in the first hour, Chuck, Larry, and then we'll wrap it up.
Well, we just need to continue to pray and keep moving forward and wait on the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Then we'll take a short break. And after the break, we'll be back. Have your elements ready. And we'll have communion. And we'll listen to this music, this song. And Chuck has also prepared some scriptures there. So let's listen to that. Get your elements ready. And when we return, we'll have communion together. This is the Mailbag Show. We'll be right back.
Colossians 3:12. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. 1 Peter 2:13-17. submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king.
Welcome back. You got your elements ready? All right. So let's go now and read a scripture. And then after that, we will partake communion. From the first book of Corinthians, chapter 11, we're going to read a scripture that we always read when we have communion. And it's a beautiful passage of scripture. Apostle Paul instructing the church at Corinth how they need to have communion. And so this was, in fact, the answer to a letter written to him asking that question. So in verse 26, Paul says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. And therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So at this time, let's take a moment to examine ourselves, get right with God. Those of you that have committed sins and need to repent and need to make it right, whatever it is, you need to forgive others of sins, things that have done to you, whatever it is. Let's take a moment to make it right with our Heavenly Father. And then when we return, have your elements ready, and we'll have communion together. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we come to you this day with our hearts full of love for you and gratitude. We thank you, Father dear, for allowing us to be able to celebrate communion together with all the precious lambs all over the world. Oh, Father, this is one of the most sacred moments, Lord, that we have every week, one of the most beautiful moments where we get to share and everybody gets to participate all over the world. And we thank you, Father, that you have given us this ability to do that. You have given us this platform. We are so thankful. And we bless these elements right now, this piece of bread, the cracker, the wafer, and this this fruit of the vine. We bless the Father in the name of Jesus, Yeshua. And we, Lord, we realize and we acknowledge that we are, Lord, in covenant with you. And this is a sign of the covenant in your blood, Yeshua, that you did with your disciples. And we are reaffirming that covenant, and we are stepping into that covenant, and we are saying we are in covenant with you, Lord. And when we receive communion, we are testifying that you were nailed to the cross, you died, you were buried and resurrected on the third day, and we are in covenant with you that you will come again to judge the living and the dead, and of your kingdom there will be no end. We are in covenant with you, Father, as kings and priests of the Most High. We are in covenant with you, O Holy One of Israel. We're coming in with you, O Most High, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the ability, Lord, that we have to do this. And we still have the freedom, Lord, to do this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's receive the body of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. After the same manner, he also took the cup after he had eaten, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Let's receive the fruit of the vine, symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you thanks. We give you glory. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Father dear. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just lift your hands to heaven and tell him thank you. Receive your blessing. Tell him thank you. Receive your healing. Tell him thank you. Receive your strength. For whatever part of your body you need the strength, say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise God. All right. Well, we're going to have now an opportunity to open the mailbag. But we got one here from Catherine.
Dear Brother Augusto, in one of your recent programs, you talked about the two forms of material that will come about that will implement the mark of the beast, one being a grayish gel and the other a pill. I think there is another piece of this already in existence. For a few years, I have heard people talk about the coming med beds. And, I believe there may be more than one version of this already in production. There may be good ones and bad ones. The original concept is that a person would lie in one of these beds and be healed using some sort of light technology. That might be all right. But there is another one also, and I believe this one is pure evil. I will attach a link to it, but I do not want to mention the name because some might be tempted to look into it more than they should. I believe this is going to be almost irresistible to some people, especially those who are very sick, have cancer or are in terrible pain. The concept of this one is that you download an app to your phone, which you can use while lying in your own bed, or any bed, perhaps even in your easy chair. Then you run the app and your energetic consciousness is transferred to the cloud where the technology exists and poof, you are healed. It only takes minutes. I believe this is real, because we already know about various energy healing technologies where you need not be present. A hologram of you, or your energetic aura is used to apply the corresponding healing energies to your physical being or determine what natural substance might be beneficial. But this is a bit different. And it is free to try. How handy is that? This involves quantum entanglement. During a scan down to the cell nucleus level, the medbed determines exactly the frequencies as well as the amount of quantum energy you need for the best possible self-healing. Both are then teleported into your body. You talk to medbed as if you were talking to a human being. It understands all languages of the world, even every dialect, because it is connected to your conscious and subconscious mind. The catch is, once you have done this, you cannot extract yourself from the technology. You are in it, forever. Here is what their literature says. Your consciousness is the medbed's most important partner. It is permanently connected to it. You control the medbed through your thoughts and you become the master over energy and frequencies in your body. Potentially anything could then be downloaded to you. Whether this is used in conjunction with the gel or the pill, or is instead of it, I do not know. But alarm bells were going off in my spirit like mad when I looked at this. Please warn the people because I think this will be so incredibly attractive to people, they will have a very difficult time saying no it. Catherine.
Hey, Catherine, thanks for sharing that. Yeah, I have been hearing about the medbeds for a while now, and I've had very uneasy feelings about it too, and I have not done the research you have, so I appreciate you writing and sharing that with the audience. And this artificial intelligence is very, very dangerous. It's a great blessing when used for the right, for the right things, for good things. But the problem is that when this falls into the hands of when it falls into the hands of evil people, that is exactly what will happen, evil. And so I do not trust the technology, this kind of technology, in the hands of anybody that is not full of the Holy Ghost and serving the Lord. It's gonna take that empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and that, you know, that having the Holy Spirit, the living God dwelling within you, to be able to, you know, to use some of these other technologies, you know, for the good of mankind. Otherwise, you're gonna be corrupted. This has always been what the devil does, and so, yeah, I do not trust these medbeds. If it has the abilities to connect with your consciousness, which means basically, you know, it's meddling with your soul. Your soul has to do with your mind, with your personality, with your thoughts. Anything that has the ability to meddle with that, like transhumanism, you're getting into a very dangerous territory, because that has the ability to mess with you. To mess with who you are. And I know that some of these people will tell you that, you know, they're doing it for the good of mankind, you know, that many of these machines and many of these, you know, transhumanist machines and links, like the neural link that Elon Musk is developing, all of these things are for the good of mankind, to help, you know, paraplegics and people like that. I have heard all of that. And I believe that, you know, just like I told you already, that there are, you know, some of these technologies, if they were to be used in a godly way, it would be awesome. But the thing is that I do not trust anybody that is using these things, unless they are filled with the Holy Ghost and unless they are a child of the living God, living for Him. I wouldn't trust anything technology with anybody, even with doctors, Augusto. Especially doctors will sell their mother if it's gonna help them to you know, to step ahead and make more money. I hate to talk like that, but there are some good doctors out there. I'm not saying they're all bad, but I'm just telling you, I have seen enough to know that I cannot trust them. I would say, you know, I don't know. I don't want to put a number, because I don't want to do that. But the number of doctors that I would trust are very, very low. And scientists. This one is from Don.
Pastor Augusto, I wanted to share a thought that I feel the Lord has given. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 ESV 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. Could it be possible that the restrainer is the Holy Spirit that is in the believer, and the deeper that we go into darkness in these last days, that more and more believers are falling away? And so if the believers are falling away, then the presence of the Holy Spirit is getting not weaker but uncommon, a rare find, allowing the darkness to manifest more and more each hour. Remember, Jesus said, when I return, will I even find faith? This could just be me, but I do feel that the Lord has always provided discernment for me. It is one of my gifts. Lastly, I want to thank you for your Thursday teachings, as they are as apples in pictures of silver. I'm very thankful for you. Larry, I continue to listen to you. Chuck and Steve, thank you for all that you bring. The Lord bless you, brothers. Shalom.
Yeah, well, thank you, Don. Appreciate that. Regarding your comment there on 2 Thessalonians 2, I know that the restrainer is the Holy Spirit in the believer, is the belief system of the majority of theologians out there and Christian teachers and prophecy teachers, and they do believe that 2 Thessalonians 2:7 has to do with that when the believers are removed, that is when the Antichrist is going to be revealed. However, I have taught on that on two occasions. I taught on that in the teaching series Daniel Unsealed and also Apocalypse Revealed. And when I talk about that particular scripture, I mention the fact, you know, and again, everybody believes however they want to believe, okay? I just don't happen to believe that the Antichrist that Paul is talking about here is, you know, and you know, is yet to be revealed, and the fact, you know, and he may be, you know, and the Antichrist is going to be revealed, but he never calls him Antichrist. He calls him the Wicked One, the Mystery of Iniquity, the Lawless One, so forth. And the fact is that when even in the Epistle of John, when he talks and writes to the church, he says there are many Antichrists. Okay, many Antichrists have gone into the world. So the Holy Spirit has never been able to restrain Antichrist figures, and the Apostle John even says so himself. He says there are many Antichrists and gone into the world, and so what I'm saying is, you know, people like Hitler, people like Mao Zedong, and people like Castro, and all these other figures, you know, they are types of Antichrist. They are types of Antichrist, and the Holy Spirit has never been able to restrain them. Never did restrain them. So what is it? What is it that then Paul is talking about here? Well, if the Holy Spirit would have been, and again, Don, I mean, I'm not, I mean, you're asking a question, and I'm trying to answer as best I can, okay? And it could be. It could be. In a way, it could be. Some of that is true, but I just don't believe that it is completely that because of what I'm sharing with you. The fact is that when the Apostle Paul was writing there in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, if he would have been the Holy Spirit, okay, the Apostle Paul should have had no problem naming the Holy Spirit there. He could have easily said, for the mystery of iniquity does already work, only the Holy Spirit, until he's taken out of the way, okay, restraining him. So only the Holy Spirit that now restrain him will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way. And he could have said that. There's nothing in the world that would have stopped him from saying that. So why didn't he say that? Well, the reason he didn't say that is because I don't believe he was referring to the Holy Spirit. I believe he was referring to something that he was not able to mention, because it would get him in trouble, and it would get the church of Thessalonica in trouble, and that is the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire back then was persecuting the church, and so he basically said the mystery of iniquity is already working. It's already working. It's already here. Only he that's now restraining will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then he says in verse 8, then shall the wicked one be revealed. Now, I have studied this, and I have gone back to the early church fathers, and every one of them, okay, every one of those early church fathers believed that the mystery of iniquity that he was referring to, okay, which is kind of a very complex word there, a mystery of iniquity. It's a mystery. When you hear the word mystery, what does that bring to your mind immediately? Mystery Babylon, right? Right? because that is what Mystery Babylon is involved with, is the mystery religion. It's a mystery religion. And he calls them the mystery of iniquity. And that iniquity is the word anomia, which means wickedness, is unrighteousness, is, you know, it's just the evil, the mystery of iniquity, okay? And so when Paul wrote this, he was referring to the Roman Empire. And this is what the early church fathers believed. The early church fathers believed the Roman Empire, which was in power when Paul wrote this letter, they were restraining the mystery of iniquity, which was going to be the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church, the papacy. If you read history, the moment that the Roman Empire fell, that is when the papacy rose to power. I explain all of that. If you go down to our website, theappearance.com, go to questions and answers. Go to the page questions and answers. On that tab, click on that tab. And the first article at the top, I address all of that. And I give you the details, and I give you the heads, and I give you the 10 heads and the horns, and I give you all that. It's all there. I give you the details, how all that came to pass. It all came to pass. You have to bear in mind that this was written in the first century. And, you know, we're talking the Catholic Church came into power. I mean, after Constantine and all that, that's when it happened. And, we're talking into the 300 AD, you know. So we're talking about a couple hundred years later. 200 or 300 years later is when the papacy came into power. And so the papacy, the mystery of iniquity, that is what that was. And if you read the early church fathers, if you read the works of Josephus, and you read some of the early church fathers, you will see clearly that they believe that this is exactly who Paul was referring to, that, you know, the restrainer was the Roman Empire, Rome. When Rome was taken out of the way, you see, when Rome was taken out of the way, which Rome was controlled by a principality and power, the prince of Rome. Remember, Daniel talks about the people of the prince that shall come. He was referring to the people of the Roman Empire that destroyed Jerusalem. So that is a language the Bible uses. And so the prince talking about there is not the Antichrist. The prince, the people of the prince is the principality of Rome. Before him was the principality of Greece, then the principality of Persia, and so forth. Listen to that teaching series I mentioned to you, Daniel Unsealed and Apocalypse Revealed. I explain it to the T. And, I know some people don't have the time to listen. And you have to have time. You have to have time. That is the one thing. It's free. I don't charge anything. But you have to have time. The time is on the people. And it's all there. It's all there. And when you go through there, you'll see all of these things that he's referring to. And then some people will say, well, Augusto, but wait a minute. Then he talks about in the book of Revelation 13, he talks about the Antichrist himself there and the mark of the beast. That hasn't happened yet. No, that hasn't happened. But the papacy is still in place, isn't it? It ain't over. The papacy is still in place. Stay tuned. More to come. Like Yogi Berra used to say, it ain't over till it's over. So I pray and trust that this answer your prayer, your question, Don. This answer your question. And I wish I could give you more, but it takes too long. Go and listen to those episodes. God bless you.
Thank you, Don.
Thanks, Don. Lord bless.
Here is one from Anita.
Morning, Papa Augusto. Please uphold my peewee to Ava. She is still very weak and fragile despite being on the medication the vet prescribed last week. Mark and I have declared strong prayers after her, and many of my Facebook family have responded at the praying for her recovery. Many are cat owner also. This is a big test of my faith, and I know you reminded us that we lambs are being severely tested. I'm very isolated here in very remote Georgia, and Pee-wee is the one physical source of gentle empathy when I am in pain or great physical distress. I am still trying to be positive and aggressively believe in faith that I am healed. I do rely on Holy Spirit for comfort and He is faithful. How are your two kitties? I'm sure that these chemtrails could also be affecting our pets and our gardens, so I'm sure that we need to declare specific prayers and ask Abbott to place a protective canopy around our property and area. I had to have strong faith to overcome almost 3 weeks battling a vicious bout of bronchitis. I was all set to book studio time to record my Psalm 91 and struggling to get back my lung strength to sing and breath powerfully for the recording. The enemy is busy trying to postpone my recording of these new worship songs. Holy Spirit also gave me lyrics for a warfare worship song, so I'm sure the enemy is not happy that it gets recorded and sang. I've watched a few very moving videos of precious brothers and sisters who gave testimony about what hell is like. I cry every time afterwards and pray for everyone in my circle to receive Jesus.F. That got me wondering about the huge earthquake in Turkey last year. Is it possible that Jesus or angels would quickly urge them to repent before their spirit left their bodies and that they would ask Jesus into their hearts? What about when the nuclear missiles are on en route to an area or city? Might Abba give them a few seconds to commit to Jesus? This weighs very heavily on my heart, and like you shared last week about that heavy burden, I too have been weeping for millions of lost souls. Thank you so much again for praying for Pee-wee, and I uphold precious Larry for Abba's comfort regarding the loss of his prayer walking doggy and cat. Thank you for your faithful shepherding of us lambs, Papa Augusto. Anita Yvette.
Well, thank you, Anita. As you were talking, I just felt like sharing with you, do not lose faith that, you know, you're going to get well. And a lot of Christians have the idea that like healing is only, it only happens one way, and that is miracle. And a miracle is when God heals you instantly, and all of a sudden, voila, you're fine. Everything is fine. The pain is gone. Everything is fine. And that happens. And I have seen that happen many times, but also many times that does not happen. And what happens is a slow, progressive healing that takes place as God heals us naturally through our body. And in order to receive that kind of a healing, you have to stay positive and you have to stay focused and have faith. Don't lose faith. Don't ever lose faith. Do not ever throw your hands up in the air and say, no, forget it, this doesn't work. No, just stay, continue patiently and persistently. And the accumulative prayer and declarations of faith will work. It takes time. It will work. And also with all the other things you're doing, with taking the supplements and this and that, you will be fine. You will be well. Maybe not the way you would love to be, but you will be well enough to do what the Lord wants you to do, Anita, in this life. And so, and the pain will be, He will take away that pain. One thing I do want to share with you is, like, and I've shared this before with you, is you have to let go of your tensions and the stress. And I have a feeling in my soul, in my heart, that you have a lot of that. You have accumulated stress and tension in your nerves, in your body, and that you need to release. And over time, it accumulates, and it causes all kinds of maladies and problems. And what I would recommend is, where you live there, you have some green grass, right, in the yard. Go there in the yard. Take off your shoes and step on that grass, make contact with the earth, and get some of that sunlight in you. It doesn't have to be long, 10, 15 minutes every day. Try that and let me know how it goes. Father, we lift up Pee-wee right now. Lord, that precious little cat. I saw a picture of little Pee-wee and Anita. Lord, we uphold him right now, and we just thank you for healing that little kitty. Lord, let your power go on that kitty. As Anita lays hands on that kitty, the power of God goes on that kitty, and Lord, and he's completely healed. And we thank you, Father dear, for healing that little kitty and strengthening that little kitty. And in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, amen. Take the kitty outside too, Anita. Take kitty outside too and put him on the grass. Put kitty on the grass. Let him get some sun and put him on the grass. Let him do that with you every day there. Let me know how it goes, okay? God bless you, Anita. Take care.
Amen. Thank you, Anita.
Amen. All right. Well, that's about it for the mailbag. You have been listening to this program today. You know, we talked about heaven, talked about Jesus. We talked about how much God loves you. If you have listened to this program today and God has touched you and dealt with you, why don't you take a moment to pray to him? It doesn't take a long prayer. All it takes is a short prayer telling him, forgive me, Father. I have messed up. I am a sinner. Heal my heart. Those of you that have a resentment in your heart, have wounded hearts, have anxiety in your heart. Some of you that have struggling with all of these issues that I mentioned, tell him, heal my heart. Heal my heart, Father. Make me well. Fill me with your presence and fill me with your love. And come into my heart, come into my life. And make me new. I don't want to feel like this. I want to feel joy and peace and shalom in my heart every day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Praise God. Repent of all your sins. Lay them down before him. He says, cast your burdens upon me, for I care. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. All right? Praise God. All right. Well, we have concluded the mailbag portion of the program. I don't know if you have anything out there, Larry, Chuck, anything coming down the pike?
Well, I'll just mention a couple of things real quick. It seems, if true, we're possibly in some type of pause, you know, especially with the Ukraine situation, while Ukraine's waiting on all that money that we're going to give them. And also kind of a pause in the Middle East while money is being distributed into the Middle East, even to Hamas. Isn't it interesting that America funds both sides of the war? We're funding Israel and we're funding Hamas at the same time. But, you know, that's where we are. One of the interesting other things is the fact that we're watching for the last week, I guess, or more, the colleges and universities across America that have become dangerous and volatile in their situations, we're seeing the training that has occurred with all these students that have turned them basically into communists, and they're pro-Palestinian now. They're pro-Palestinian, and basically, you know, the Palestinians are Hamas. Hamas is ISIS, and, you know, it's hard to express what's happening to this country. But we're now seeing what all this training by the left has done to, a generation or more of our youth, and we've turned them to where not only now is the chance, you know, hate Israel, destroy Israel, it's hate America, destroy America, kill Americans. I mean, that's what we're hearing. And so with that, you know, continue to, you know, follow the Lord and pray for his protection.
Yeah, there is unrest on college campuses now. It's really getting out of hand. And, you know, they called the police on one. I was looking for it on the Daily Mail there. I couldn't find it. But there was one article about they had to send the police in, and they made numerous arrests because of the uprising there. And this is happening on college campuses because just about every one of your college professors are communists, and they teach communism to their students. So you may send a student into a college who has a good base of beliefs and whatnot, but by the time they come out, and it doesn't happen to all of them, but by the time they come out of college, they're hardcore communists. That's what the colleges are doing to our students nowadays.
Yeah, the colleges are swarming with many of these groups, and I mean it's bad. It's really bad. However, I was reading a piece of news here that kind of gave me hope. This one is and is about our governor, Governor DeSantis. He said Satanists cannot be a part of a school chaplain program. We are not playing those games in Florida, unquote. On Thursday, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed House Bill 931 into law. The law allows school districts and charter schools to adopt a policy to authorize volunteer school chaplains to provide support services and programs to students as assigned to the by the district school board or charter school governing board. And so anyway, now the Satanists are protesting, and Lucian Gray Greaves, the co-founder of the Satanic Temple, which oversees after-school Satan clubs and plan to take advantage of the law, argued in a series of social media posts summarizing his comments to media that DeSantis' words hold no authority because the U.S. Constitution guarantees equal treatment under the law. The group has threatened to sue if its members were prohibited from participating in the chaplain program. Greaves stressed that the Senate invited satanic chaplains into public school, whether he likes it or not, because he is not at liberty to amend the Constitution by fiat. He also noted the Satanic Temple is recognized by the IRS as a tax-exempt religious organization. So there you have it. Bottom line is that DeSantis is the governor of Florida, and I don't know if this is for all the schools, but he did mention charter schools, and so I don't know. This is kind of a little murky, and I haven't read this thing in detail, but it's very interesting that DeSantis said that the Satanists cannot be a part of a school chaplain program. And we're not playing those games in Florida. So anyway, he's determined to not make it possible for these people to teach this thing to our children and be chaplains there. And just like he tried to protect the children from all those programs that the transvestites and the transsexuals were trying to infiltrate into the Florida school system. So another kudos to DeSantis. And again, this is a long fight, between good and evil. This is a good long fight between darkness and light. And a lot of those fights are going to be held in courts and on our knees. So the intercessors, you know, we need to pray for this. Pray for Florida that the law that he signed into place, it holds, and that these groups are not able to overturn it. And those of you in other states, pray that similar laws are passed in your respective states.
Another note, which is really strange, we've had 3 CMEs this morning, coronal mass ejections off the sun, and that we're getting them about 2 or 3 or 4 a day, and this has been going on for a long time. You're not seeing it in the news, but it's happening. And at the same time, there's a frost and freeze alert potential Wednesday into Friday with violent thunderstorms for the north of you, Augusto, thank God, and up in the northeast. So the weather's off, the sun's still raging, and a lot of things going on.
Yeah, we are having interesting weather here in Southern California. We'll have maybe our week or so of overcast, no sun, and then a week of sun, and then just back and forth. So whether this weather is being affected by the sun, which it probably is, or the nearness of Nibiru, that might be the case. But talking about the schools, trying to keep the Satanists out of the school, I know that one of the things that they try to do is if the school has a club of believers, say they have a Bible study or something on campus, then the Satanists will argue that they have an equal right to have their own club on campus. And then what schools will generally do, if they truly want to keep them off, is they will allow no clubs on campus. But what they should do really is encourage these Christian clubs or Christian study clubs or whatever to meet off campus. And then they don't have to worry about that, and just say no clubs on campus. You have to do it off campus. And that way they can keep the Satanists out, because that is what their goal is to try to remove the Christian clubs by forcing the school to cut everything in order to keep the Satanists out.
Yeah, that's true. And they're doing that. They're doing that right now. I know a friend of mine. He has a ministry. He used to be here in Florida. Now he's in Georgia, Valdosta. He's a good friend of mine. And we used to do deliverances together and, you know, preach to get together. And his ministry is mostly to the youth. And I'm not going to mention names because he hasn't given me permission to do that. But he, that's what he does, because when he goes to schools, they do not allow him to talk about Jesus. And they do not allow him, you know, to pray for the kids and all that, you know, laying hands on them and nothing like that. So what he does is he goes into the school systems during school hours, and he does a very, very, very short presentation, okay? Very kind of non-offensive, politically correct presentation about God, you know, and being good students and this and that. And then he invites them to a rally that he holds off campus, off the school campus. And that's where he really puts on a show for them, and he preaches the gospel of the kingdom. And he's really doing great. He's really reaching a lot of kids for the Lord, for Jesus. And so that is what he's doing. I think the issue here is it's more about the chaplaincy. You see, the chaplain. And I was a chaplain for some time years ago. I worked, my wife and I were chaplains at a chicken factory here in town. We were there for about a couple of years. And when you're a chaplain, you get to minister to the kids there, or, you know, in the school, and in that place, we got to minister to the people that were working there. And they came to us with questions and with, you know, prayer requests and so forth. So I think the issue that the Santa is focusing in is the chaplain program, per se, and because these chaplains have a tremendous influence over the schools and the kids. This is what they did in the military, and look where the military is. They started allowing these individuals involved in the dark arts into the chaplaincy program in the military, and the military began to go haywire. Before, the only chaplains allowed in the military were Christians. So this is an issue that, you know, that, you know, I don't know how they're going to solve this, because the government backs them up. And, you know, we have to go back to the Constitution, one nation under God, indivisible. And we have to go back to that, you know, premise. And there has to be a way that these individuals cannot be allowed to do that. But it's not going to fly just under the banner of a church. If it's just a matter of church, they have to be allowed. So this has gone. And again, I haven't read this law. Whatever law is passed has to go beyond a church. And you know, lawyers out there, probably you have a better way to handle this, and you could probably come up with something, you know, the right words to say. I'm not a lawyer, but you know, the right words have to be found to address this, because this is about the chaplaincy, and chaplains have a lot of influence. I think this is what the Santas is coming against. But anyway, there's a lot of things happening here, folks. A lot of things happening, and we just have to keep in prayer. And we have come to the top of the hour. And so final words, Larry, Chuck, and then we'll wrap it up.
Well, just keep the faith. Amen.
Amen.
Well, folks, we have come to the end of this program. Thank you, Larry, for being with us. Thank you, Chuck, for being with us. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been another edition of the Mailbag Show. Until next time, God bless you. Shalom.